Fan.
I guess I got to start talking eventually. 8:01 on a Saturday morning, and you are in the zone on The Fan. Dave Sinekin, Trent Tucker with you for the next couple hours to talk basketball, and maybe a little more basketball. At least that's what I have on my pad of paper. I'm not sure that will hold up completely.
You can also throw hockey in there if you like.
Sure. Why don't we? Let's make it a early beyond the pond.
Basketball, you know?
Yeah, there's plenty of college hoops. Oh, yeah. We got these 2 hours covered.
Right.
Those are the tones, of course, of my partner, the professor of hoopology, Gopher legend, NBA champion, a guy who knows what it feels like to lose a big playoff game, unfortunately. But he also won some big ones, too. Double T, Trent Tucker. I appreciate you not texting me late in the game. Of course, there was no real reason to feel real confident at any point in the game. But your silence was appreciated because Sunday was a rough evening, for sure.
Yeah, I understand. I know how you felt. You know, I knew it was time for you just to spend some time alone.
I pretty much unplugged this week. That's what I did after the Seattle game years ago. Just unplug.
You know, go into your own little man cave and just and sort things out all by yourself. So I've been there before.
Yeah, it was tough. It was when coaching decisions have you rattled more than anything, and I haven't felt that. But you know, the decision to kick the field goal at the end, I still can't come to peace with that.
I can.
Really?
Yeah.
How?
I mean, because at some point in time, you know, you needed two scores anyway.
No, you score and you get your conversion and it's tied.
It's two scores. You got to get a 2-point conversion and, you know.
Okay.
So you need to score. I'm saying you got to get two scores.
Right.
Okay, you cut it to five. It wasn't like Tampa Bay was blowing you off the field in the second half. You know, they were rattled. Your defense was doing a very good job.
Brady was throwing more balls to my team than to his team.
Right. The only problem that you had once you were able to force Tom Brady into a turnover was that you could not crack that tough defense inside the red zone.
Couldn't even get a first down after those interceptions. A couple three and outs.
And, you know, many people would always go back and say, well, Aaron Rodgers didn't deliver. It's a big game for him. He wasn't able to come up and make things happen. But this just in. The Tampa Bay defense, those are real pros as well. Those guys are on that side of the field for a reason. And sometimes we've always talked about that defense wins championships. Well, the offense put them in a position where they needed to make some stops. And just unfortunate for you and the rest of the Green Bay Packer faithful, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, they rose to the occasion.
No, they're really good.
They rose to the occasion.
Both their safeties in the second half, and they still handle it. My thing back to that play, Double T, is even if you miss on fourth down, you're going to give Brady the ball back inside the 10 with 2 minutes to go. What's the difference? If you don't score there, you still have to do it again anyway. I understand you cut it to five and you don't need to worry about a 2-point conversion, but you've got Aaron Rodgers. It's fourth and goal. You've had the best red zone offense all year. Granted, the Bucs are tough, but I want my take my chances on one play with my MVP and not hope that my defense can stop Tom Brady when it really matters.
Well, because the bottom line is that if you down five, if they drive and kick a field goal, now you're back in the same situation. It wasn't like Tampa was going to drive and score a touchdown.
No, they were just looking to run the clock out
right
at that point.
So your defense, okay, now this is what you guys are paid for.
Well, they
that's why in football there's two sides of the ball. and if they could come up with a stop, you know, you saw a clip here or there of Aaron Rodgers saying, hey, get a stop, get a stop.
Yep, almost did.
And many people say, well, the secondary for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was not strong because they had some players who didn't play. But you and I talked about this not just last week, but over the years. When you're facing a dynamic quarterback and you have upfront guys who can get to the quarterback more times than not, they're going to find a way to win that football game.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen it time and time again. You know, all the great quarterbacks who were favored to win. Why did Eli Manning beat Tom Brady twice? Not because Eli Manning outdo a Tom Brady in a shootout. Strahan and Tuck and OC, JPP, the boys up front. When it mattered most, they were able to put pressure on the quarterback.
Is there anything in the world you love more than that Giants team? Really? I mean, is that... You revel in those Giants teams. It's just...
Carl Banks and...
I know you love...
Carl Banks was, you know, he's a childhood friend.
Well, let's go back. All right, let's go back to the. You know, the end of the first half also was difficult to swallow. The decision to go man to man on that last play is going to haunt this team for a long time. And there's an interesting story in the Milwaukee paper today how everybody wanted to blame Pettine, of course, because Pettine called zone defense on the play with 6 seconds left when Brady threw it to Scotty Miller, got over Kevin King, and they didn't play zone and just prevent anything but somebody running past you. In the paper today, it was more complicated than that, there might have been miscommunication, that LaFleur said he wanted to play two-man, you know, two-man safety back,
yeah.
And Pettine only heard the man part. What should have happened is they should have called timeout. Adrian Amos said, you know what, this is wrong. Let's call time. Are we sure we want to do this right now?
No, what should have happened, they should have picked off the pass to play before.
Yes, they should have. Darnell Savage had it right in his hands.
See,
I know.
You know,
so close.
When you're in games like this and you have moments to make plays, you have to make the play. Because if you don't make the play, you give the great quarterback another chance to beat you. If they pick off the pass, which should have been intercepted, Tom Brady once again put his team in harm's way.
Yep.
The defense didn't make the play. They gave Tom Brady one more look. Miscommunication. Somebody fell apart. Somebody missed an assignment. Tom Brady put 7 points on the board to end the half. See, it's all the little things,
yep,
that makes the difference on whether you go win a championship or not. And if you don't capitalize and seize the moment when those opportunities are there, you are in big trouble.
Yep, and the team didn't seize the moment. You know me for a long time. I've never been more confident going into a game.
Oh, you're very confident.
I was certain Green Bay was headed to the Super Bowl, and I've never been that way. I'm always running around nervous like, oh, God, I don't know. I knew. I was certain that this team was destined for Tampa next week. I suppose I'll watch the game. You know, what else am I going to do? But it's amazing. It's just like the year Seattle stole it from us with the onside kick. I had no interest in the Super Bowl a week later. But Mahomes, Brady, you know, you have to watch history. That's, you know, a remarkable matchup among two eras there, and I'll certainly be rooting for Mahomes. last thing I want is for Brady to win another one. But that was tough, and it cost Mike Pettine his job. Packers will be looking for a new defensive coordinator. They already let go of their special teams coach.
Yeah.
So some heads rolled this week in title
time. You know, and sometimes when you lose a critical game like that, frustration sets in for sure, but there's no need to panic. Sit down, take a look at this film. Why did we lose this football game? Why did we lose this football game? Yeah, it's always easy to blame people here and there. It's because sometimes you got to face reality. We didn't make some plays over here on our defensive end. We didn't make a throw here or there on the offensive end. Okay? But we were in a position to win the game. Let's face it, man. When it came down to cashing in and making it happen, you know, on certain plays, they were just a little bit better.
Yeah, no, there's no question. But, yeah, it's just tough because, you know, it's just it's sort of like in 07, you know, as far as last year, you know, Rodgers will be back. The fan has learned Rodgers will be back in Green Bay, and they'll make another run. But everything had fallen into place this year. You just don't know if that's going to happen again. Everybody's going to get better. Teams are going to change. Green Bay is going to have a lot of different faces. They're likely not to have Aaron Jones anymore and Kevin King and Corey Linsley and a bunch of free agents they're going to let go. So it's a different team. And you don't know that the stars are going to align like they did this year. And with a 37-year-old quarterback, you know, you just don't know if you're going to have another chance. And that's why it's tough for us this week, because this was the chance, it feels like. Doesn't mean it won't be next year. But you're at home in the NFC title game, and you expect to win that game, just like I did back in 07 with Favre.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it's tough. I mean, a game has to break your heart, man, before you realize how much you love it. You know?
Yeah, well, gotten used to it. I know Viking fans have, too. It kind of comes with the territory. But, yeah, we'll see where they come back from.
I mean, here. Watching that football game and when it was, I don't know, it was 3rd and 1 or 3rd and 2 or whatever, I'm thinking, I said, I know Tampa Bay is not going to pass the football. We know that. And Aaron Rodgers may get one more chance. And then they ran that little sweep or something. The guy picked up the first down. And you know, there went 60-plus thousand, you know, at Lambeau Field. But you could hear, you know, the sound, what the guy said. You hear now, it's total silence.
Yeah, we don't have to go back to PA playing my son Jackson soundbite over and over like he did Monday morning. Well, it was fairly silent anyway with only 6,000-8,000 fans right there. It wasn't a full house, obviously. Much was made of the non-call, or the call, rather, on the pass interference on Kevin King at the end of the game that sealed it. And he had his jersey, you know, there's no question.
It was pass interference.
But the point is, they hadn't been calling it all day, because the previous series, when Rodgers got picked off, Alan Lazard was getting completely held, and that's why the ball was picked off. So you just want consistency. If you're going to let him play, let him play. And in the final moment like that, to make the call there, it rubbed a lot of fans the wrong way, because you could point to, on both sides, they were letting holding and pass interference go. They were saying, you guys play as long as it's not blatant.
But that was blatant.
It was blatant.
Yeah.
But there were, you know, there were certainly blatant.
I mean,
Devontae Adams, when he got had a drop in the end zone, he was being held the entire time. You know,
but they had to call. He poured Tyus Johnson's jersey. No, Minneapolis North.
Thank you.
Tyus Johnson.
Yes, he did.
Who made a big catch, you know, on that with 3rd and 8 or 3rd and 9
yeah, he did.
Or something of that nature coming across the middle.
We figure without Antonio Brown out there, he'd have an opportunity or two.
Well,
he takes advantage of the small chances he gets.
It just shows you, here's a guy, you know, that was drafted in the 5th round, and with all the other talent that's on that team at his position, you know, he has continued to work. And Tom Brady has great trust in him in big moments, and kudos to the, you know, to the work that Tyler Johnson has put in, now with a chance to win a Super Bowl.
Think about it. Go back to the draft, the disappointment of waiting till the 5th round, but hey, you got drafted by Tampa Bay, and hey, Tom Brady's going to be your quarterback, and you're going to learn from Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, and then they signed Antonio Brown midseason, and now, you know, he's buried on the depth chart, but in the chances he gets throughout the season, he shows himself. Well, now Brown's out, and he's doubtful for the Super Bowl. So here's Tyler Johnson, who was, you know, kicked around on draft day and had to wait way too long to hear his name called. He gets to play in the biggest game and likely will have opportunities against the Chiefs defense. That secondary can be beat. And so how could you not be happy for him and Antoine Winfield?
Oh, you're ecstatic.
You got two Gopher rookies that play meaningful minutes for a Super Bowl team in their rookie year. That's pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and, you know, he's a guy that, you know, during the time that I was working in Minneapolis and had a chance to see him up close as an athlete, I mean, there are many guys who have come through the city of Minneapolis, and I've talked to some of the guys who have been around for a very long time, and they talk about all the other, you know, the good players who came through over the years. I said, but if there's a better athlete than Tyler Johnson, I haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because when I watched him one night play in a game, and they threw a lob pass from half court, and I said, well, where's that pass going? And all of a sudden, I see this guy come out of nowhere and flying in the air, catches the ball with two hands, and with a slam dunk. I said, well, who is that? I said, I haven't seen a kid jump that high in a very long time. So if there was a better athlete over the years than Tyler Johnson, you know, somebody has to show me who that guy
is. Yeah, it's a short list for sure.
Was. Right. Just say who the guy was.
Right, no doubt. All right, can we be done talking football now? I'd like to be, if that's all right. I mean, we can certainly sprinkle
show,
it back
man.
In.
You know,
what do you mean it's my show?
I'm just following your lead.
No. Don't give me this your show
business. I understand how it feels. You know, as a player, you were in those moments and it hurts. And as a fan, when you're a diehard fan of a team that you believe that, hey, you know, this was our chance to make the next step and things don't go your way.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the pain. Like the great Doug Collins always said, you know, the game has to break your heart, man, before you realize how much you love it.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I think both our fan bases have had enough of the heartbreaking. It's fun to have the big, but, you know, bottom line is it was a great season to follow this team. They gave us, you know, 14 fantastic winning weeks that were a lot of fun to watch. But yeah, it just felt like there was one more step to take and it was right there in front of them. So that's why it is. It hurts a little more.
But I'm just hoping that the Green Bay Packers front office don't panic and allow the outsiders to begin to influence their decision making on the inside. Because you're going to have a lot of Monday morning quarterbacks. You're going to have a lot of people questioning, well, we should have did this and we should have did that. But the guys on the inside have to make sure they stay true to themselves and what they're trying to accomplish. Hey, there are a lot of things that we could have done that we didn't do. But on the other end, we still have to give those guys on that defensive side of the ball in critical moments. They forced us into situations where we couldn't execute. I thought on that third down pass that Aaron Rodgers made, I believe he could have ran for a touchdown.
Yeah, if not a touchdown, he could have gotten to the two.
But I don't think Aaron Rodgers wanted to get hit.
Well, I don't know about that.
They would have laid... If
he had known that they weren't going to go for it on fourth down, then he would have run because he really thought he had another shot at it. He didn't want to...
Jordan Love may have been coming on that fourth quarter play.
Well, he was inactive, so he would not have been allowed to come in.
Sorry. Now, I don't think Aaron Rodgers felt like that. I thought he had a chance to make it. But he knew that if he crossed that line of scrimmage, they were coming for him.
Yeah, I don't know that that's something that he's worried about.
Because that pass he made was a very, very low percentage pass for him to make.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it wasn't there. Yeah, no, he should have run it. There's no doubt. Yeah. If you're at fourth down on the two or three, it's a lot easier decision to go for it than if you're back at the eight or nine and you decide to kick the field goal. But I was just furious on that decision. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. You're going to trust your defense to stop Tom Brady, who, granted, has not been very good. But when he's got one series to get a first down to get to the Super Bowl and it's Tom Brady, I like his chances against any defense.
You took the penalty. I mean, what team does that? I've never seen a team do that.
What's that?
Took the penalty to make sure you couldn't get to the two-minute warning.
Yeah.
So now you got four timeouts.
Yep, that was smart. I liked it.
And Rodgers scored a touchdown in 29 seconds.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I know. But you're asking Tom Brady you're asking your defense to stop the GOAT.
I'm asking the best team in football to make one more play.
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm asking. I ain't asking Detroit Lions to stop Tom Brady. I'm asking the Green Bay Packers to stop Tom Brady.
Which
throughout the game, those guys did a fantastic job of controlling Tom Brady, especially in the second half.
Yeah, no, the defense was fine. Now, they'd stopped the run all day. They picked off three passes. It was not the defense. It was, it was defense at the end of the first half. But, it's time to move on. I can't deal anymore. It was hard enough coming in here Monday morning at 9 and dealing with PA for half an hour. 5 days later, the hurt is still there. So let's talk about something joyful like the Minnesota Timberwolves. When we come back, we'll change our attention to basketball. Lots of NBA conversation the rest of the way. College hoop as well as the Gophers return to action. I do have a couple NFL nuggets with some quarterbacks on the move that I'd like to get to before we are done. But we will talk some hoops and we welcome your input. 651-989-5326. Toll free 800-320-5326 or email us to the Bradshaw and Bryan inbox, booth@kfan.com. Just getting started.
Download it now.
All right, we're back. 8:24 on a Saturday morning. You're in the zone. Tucker and Sinekin hanging out till 10. We will pass the puck, as I like to say, to Beyond the Pond. Following us today for all your hockey talk. And Saturdays with Sauce follows them at noon today. Live and local all weekend, every weekend here on The Fan. Emails flying in from Vikings fans. I love this one. If Packers would have picked Jefferson rather than Love, would they be in the Super Bowl? Well, A, Jefferson was off the board before the Packers picked because the Vikings took him. So how could they have drafted Jefferson? B, Green Bay had the number one offense in the NFL. It's not like they had this gaping hole in their offense because they didn't draft a wide receiver in the first round. Might they have been more prolific if they had? Maybe. Maybe, but by the time they picked at the bottom of the first, wherever they picked, they had a guy they had their sights set on. That was a quarterback, and the receivers they liked, and they did like Jefferson. He was gone. The Vikes took him. The Vikes couldn't believe the Eagles passed. Remember all the mock drafts last year had Justin Jefferson going to the Eagles? Virtually every single mock draft that I saw had the Eagles taking Justin Jefferson, and they chose Jalen Reagor instead, and the rest is history. The Vikings get their guy. He had a historic season, but he wasn't there for Green Bay to get unless they were going to draft, trade up ahead of all those teams to get Justin Jefferson. So offense was not the problem in Green Bay. Not drafting a wide receiver in the first round was not the problem in Green Bay. Green Bay was the top seed in the NFC and didn't execute enough in the championship to get to the Super Bowl. I don't think there's any problem with the personnel decisions, even though I was not enthused with the Love pick at the time, like most Packer fans. You want someone that's going to help your team this season. But I thought the Green Bay front office got the last laugh. The team had the top seed in the NFC. It was right there, and they just didn't execute. All right. Let's move on. Well, before we move on, let's welcome Matt from Brooklyn Park and see what he cares to chat about before we bring on more exciting conversations like the Timberwolves' performance against Philly last night. Matt, good morning. You're in the zone.
Morning, guys. Dave, I know you want to move on from this. I was laughing with your producer that answered the phone. Apparently, he's a Packer fan, too. He said now he's in a bad mood because the wounds have been opened up again. But I just wanted to mention before you move on, I think it is so comical how ESPN and all these outlets, and it started with my two of my favorites, about the only thing I watch on that show and on that station anymore, Kornheiser and Wilbon. Aaron Rodgers has played his last down with the Packers. I find it so comical and so ridiculous that it's kind of hard to watch. So I don't think he's going anywhere. I'm sure you'll address that later. But I also wanted to mention, I wanted to apologize to you and your producer and all Packer fans that Matt Patricia is no longer available to roam the sidelines of Lambeau, the rocket scientist, because he's rejoined Belichick, Dave, and I know you're really disappointed about that.
Well, so hang in there. Somebody, and the Lions took Dom Capers away from us. They signed Capers yesterday, so he's off the market, too.
I saw that last night. They have all kinds of experience and all kinds of neat things going on in the front office. Mm-hmm. We'll see if it helps. But, you guys, I just wanted to be selfish here real quick and get the in-the-zone vibe going on a good Matt Stafford trade. I wanted to know what you guys think we can get for him. I'm hoping for a first and a third, preferably San Francisco, because they have the 12th pick. Some people have said, well, maybe the 12th pick in Garoppolo, which he would be a bridge. We're not going to keep him long-term. But what do you guys think he can get? And also, do you think they should take a quarterback in the first round? Because I, under no circumstances, and I'm going to be so disappointed if they do, I do not think they should take a quarterback. You've got to rebuild that team. Get a bridge quarterback like Fitzpatrick or Teddy Bridgewater or somebody and keep the rebuild going.
So what pick do you have?
Guys, let me know what you think.
What pick do the Lions have? Oh, he's gone. He's gone. Brett, find out what pick the Lions have, will you?
I want to ask you a question. I know you want to move on from the Packers.
No, it's okay. Yeah, it's fine. This is healing for me, so it's all good.
I mean, why would the Packers fire the defensive coordinator?
Why would they fire him?
Yeah.
Well, they didn't fire him. His contract was up. I mean, technically...
Okay.
You know, okay. They decided not to retain him, if you want to put it nicely. Why did they move on from Mike Pettine? Well, remember LaFleur did inherit Pettine. He was on the staff of Mike McCarthy, so it wasn't his hire. He went along with keeping Pettine. And the defense this year finished ninth. It was a top 10 defense, believe it or not. Okay. So I think LaFleur wants to find someone that more aligns with how he likes to see defense played, meaning Pettine likes to play a lot of zone. I think LaFleur wants to see his guys play more man and You know, you got
it. What happened in the first half?
Well, not in that situation. We just don't want to get beat over the top. But you know, there is significant talent. There's five or six spots where they're really solid on defense. You know, with Kenny Clark and Za'Darius Smith and Jair Alexander and Rashawn Gary and the two safeties. And I think he feels like there's enough talent where this unit should be better. And I think he wants to, you know, bring in a guy that he's more comfortable with. There's a guy in San Francisco that he's tight with. Wade Phillips is available. They were on the same staff with the Rams. He plays a 3-4. He wants to get back into coaching. Maybe he goes old school again with Phillips. Jerry Gray's on the staff. Maybe he likes what Gray did with the secondary and give him a chance to call plays again. I just felt like he feels like that unit needs a shot in the arm and some new blood.
So if the Packers win that game and win the Super Bowl, is he let go?
Probably not.
So, he's the guy that's going to be the scapegoat.
Well, yeah, I guess so. But I understand it, too. You're a head coach, and you've got your own fingerprints on the staff, and that's a guy that you inherited.
So I cover my backside so that you as a fan don't continue to harp on me for not going for it on fourth. Okay? So, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right.
I get it.
You're right. He has plenty to be blamed for in that game, the way that game was called.
And he shouldn't. You had three or four interceptions almost?
Yeah, three interceptions. Yeah. Hey. No, look, LaFleur is not blameless at all in this deal. There's no question.
But somebody has to take the fall.
It was time. Yeah, he was ready to see some new blood in there.
Somebody has to take the fall.
All right, that's okay. Special teams coach took the fall too.
Yeah. What did he do wrong? Because the guy from the football and the kickoff and started the third quarter.
Our special teams have been a disaster the last few years. And they're promoting from within. The assistant dude, Maurice Drayton, is going to get that job, and he's had some nice success around the league. So. Give him a chance. Person of color getting a chance to be a coordinator. I'm all for that. Stafford's on my list of stuff to go over today. As long as Matt brought it up, and we've got a few minutes here before our next break, we'll save the Wolves because certainly there's no reason to jump into Wolves talk at this point. The latest scuttlebutt is the Rams really want Stafford.
The Rams do?
But I don't know how they have any kind of capital to give Detroit. They're committed to Jared Goff financially, like $30 million the next couple of years. They don't even have a number one pick this year. So I don't know how.
So why are the Rams so hot on Stafford? Is he from California?
Stafford? No, he's from Texas.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. For some, you know, look, I like Stafford a lot, and I see a few really smart destinations for him, which I'll get to in a second. Okay. Brett tells us Detroit picks 7th. If I'm Detroit and there's a quarterback I love, I would take a quarterback at 7.
For sure.
I mean, you don't want to have to pick that high again. Yes, you might be rebuilding, but you may not get that high a pick in a while.
That's an important position on the team, right?
Right. Now, if Lawrence and Justin Fields and Zach Wilson, the top three guys, are gone, the next guy in line is probably the Minnesota kid, Trey Lance from NDSU, who might still be there at 7. So, you know, they have to figure out if that's a guy that they want to build around, if they like his talents. But I wouldn't dismiss drafting a quarterback for Detroit if they love a guy. But they're moving Stafford. That's been announced. Many believe it's going to happen before the Super Bowl. Like, it's going to happen here in the next week.
Okay.
He's due $10 million on March 21st, so they have to deal him before that. Now, the fact that everybody knows they're trading him certainly takes some of the value away of what they're going to get in return. I don't see how the Rams make it work. I don't. I don't see how Detroit takes on Goff's salary for however many more years he's signed for, and they don't have a number one pick. To me, the three most likely spots for Stafford are Indianapolis,
okay,
New England, and Washington. Three teams that feel like they're close, or, you know, two of them were playoff teams. New England wasn't. New England, you know, he fits what Belichick likes, a drop-back passer. They can run Brady's offense, basically. You know, he's the same kind of a quarterback, and it doesn't move around a lot. And McDaniels, when he was running, calling plays for Brady, he had a certain system in mind for a quarterback that doesn't move a lot. So I think Stafford could move into that team seamlessly. They would need to add some talent around him. They don't have much in the receiver area. We know Washington's got a really good defense. Alex Smith was the quarterback by default. So, I don't know what they can offer Detroit. They don't pick very high since they were a playoff team, and that might not really excite Detroit. And then there's Indy, which to me is the number one pick. I mean, Phillip Rivers retires. You know, they've got Jacoby Brissett, but they don't see him as a starter.
What can Indy give Detroit to get Stafford?
Well, Indy gave up their number one pick last year to get DeForest Buckner. They also would have a lower first-round pick.
And they're a playoff team.
So, you know, unless you're looking at next year's number one, which may not be any higher because they're expected to be pretty good, especially with Stafford, you'd have to look at a couple players, you know, a couple of those defensive players.
Unless Detroit is willing to become worse just to get rid of Matt Stafford, that's the only way I can see them trading him.
Well, if you're trading Matthew Stafford, you are likely going to be worse the next season, right? It's kind of a rebuild now. So,
I mean, I know Matt talking about San Francisco and Jimmy G. But Jimmy G was hurt this year most of the season. And everybody blames him, you know, for not beating Patrick Mahomes. Well, he had the best defense in football. He had a late lead in the fourth quarter, third and forever. And Patrick Mahomes makes a play against the best defense in football. It wasn't Jimmy G's fault.
That was not Jimmy G's fault. You're correct. But I don't think anybody sees Garoppolo as a, you know, top 15 starter in this league.
Doesn't have to. He got his team to the Super Bowl.
Right, but is he going to lift Detroit? You know,
he'd be
a 1 to 2 year answer, and you got to pay him a whole lot of money.
Lift Detroit.
Yeah,
and with all the gaudy numbers he put up.
Yeah, that's true.
Is because he was a product of this environment. It was a pass happy league. He could throw the football 35, 40 times a game. Well, if you can throw the football 35, 40 times a game, and have multiple turnovers, and nobody's going to say anything to you. For sure, you're going to put up great numbers.
Yeah, and
but the great number did not come in the win column.
No, it didn't. And I think
that's why great quarterbacks are judged.
His road record was terrible against winning teams. Rarely won those games. But I do like Matthew Stafford a lot. And
so if I'm Indy, I don't have a quarterback. I can see you taking Matthew Stafford, but I don't have anything to give you for Matthew Stafford unless you just want to give him away.
Right. I mean, you can give him your number one pick, but that's probably around 20, 22 or Indy picks. That's not real exciting, and maybe you throw in a player. They've got three really good running backs. Maybe you throw them a running. Although Detroit's got running backs, they need defense. Indy's got defense. If they're willing to part with one of their fine defensive players,
I would not do that.
Not like Darius Leonard or Buckner or the big guys,
I just have to find a Fitzpatrick, some type of like that, to see if they can come in here and help us. I can't tear up my team for Matthew Stafford. Sorry, I can't do that.
I wouldn't tear it up, but I'd certainly make a call. Matthew Stafford makes that Colts team really dangerous.
But not if I lose a couple. I've watched Matthew Stafford throughout the years. I've seen Matthew Stafford do more harm to the Detroit Lions than good.
I disagree with that.
In critical moments, major plays coming down the field, he turns the ball over time and time again. The numbers are there. Don't get me wrong. The numbers are there is because he fits into a system, how the NFL is played today, for his talent. But when it comes down to producing on the field in most critical moments, Matthew Stafford has not been there.
Yeah, I don't know if that's on him or not. Maybe. I don't know. I don't look at him as a loser. I want to see him go somewhere else.
You can't throw the ball to the opposite. Didn't he have Calvin Johnson?
He did. He did. He had Megatron.
Enough said.
all right, we're late. We'll pause here. We'll come back, and I think we're going to switch the conversation to basketball in the zone.
On the Fan.
You're in the zone. Tucker and Sinekin. Switching our attention to the National Basketball Association. We like to call it our bread and butter. Although, things not going real well for the local five. The Wolves fall to the Sixers last night. 118-94. Still without Kat. And haven't heard an update on how Karl Anthony Towns is feeling. We hope that he and Wancho are getting better. With this kind of thing, when you've got COVID, there's no timetable. You could say, you know, you're quarantining for 14 days. It doesn't mean you're magically better in 14 days.
Yeah, but I'm concerned about Karl Anthony Towns.
Mm-hmm.
With all the stuff that he's been through and him being a very emotional young man, and now he has COVID himself, you know, I'm starting to wonder mentally, man, will he ever make it back?
Well, I think it's fair to be concerned about that. There was a story it broke yesterday that he revealed that he got hit by a drunk driver back in November. Did you see this story?
I don't know.
Carl,
I can't remember.
I've seen it on TMZ, I think, was the first to have it. But he said he was hospitalized overnight after getting hit by a drunk driver in L.A., I believe it was, back in November. He said it was 2 in the afternoon in Los Angeles, and he spent the night in the hospital after getting hit, his vehicle getting hit by a drunk driver. So you add that on top of everything he's dealt with mentally, you know, and
I'm really concerned. I just don't know if he's going to make it back.
Are you concerned mentally?
Yeah.
So more about what's going on, what he's dealt with his mom and his family members. Uh-huh. Then he contracts it. Throw in the fact that he dealt with a car accident that had him hospitalized.
Yeah.
It's certainly fair to be concerned.
Yeah, I mean, he may not make it back.
You mean the season?
I just don't know if he's ever going to come back.
Really?
Yeah.
So what leads you to be that concerned?
You know, he's been through a whole lot. And like I said, and people deal with, you know, certain situations differently. I mean, but, you know, for all the, you know, the trauma that he's gone through in a short period of time, and now he has it himself, and you talk about now with the car accident and the season not going the way it should be going, he can't stay healthy. You know, it could begin to weigh on him mentally. I'm hoping that I would like to be absolutely wrong in my thought process, but something just tells me I just don't know if he's going to make it back.
Well, I can understand that this feels like kind of a lost season for Carl Anthony Towns, and I don't know, at some point, they've played 18 games. There's still 54 games to be played. They're 4-14. We know the end result here. This is not a playoff team. It's a team that won't have its first-round pick unless it gets a top-three pick. Right now, they have the second-worst record in the NBA. And so,
the Wizards.
Yeah, the Wizards, and I think Detroit's third. I think those are the three bottom teams. And so if you end up as a bottom three team, I think there's a 40% chance you'll end up with a top-three pick. So it's less than 50-50 that you're going to get to keep your pick, even if you're the worst team in basketball, which would be the worst outcome of all. And it's a trade chip that Golden State can use if they're looking to make a big move, i.e. a Bradley Beal or something like that. If you've got Minnesota's pick, you can almost name your price. So it just compounds the problem with Carl. If you win enough, you're not going to have your pick anyway. If you lose all the games, you may not have your pick either. But more about him as a human being, does it make sense to come back in an odd season like this where, you know, COVID is still rampant? But that's concerning to hear you say that, because I can see, this year he needs to get his head right, but you're concerned long term that he may not come back as a...
Because, I mean, you've seen certain people go through certain things at a young age at the professional level. And he said enough is enough. I mean, I think we saw a young guy from San Francisco at the age of 24, 25 said, if he had some injuries or he had a couple concussions. I know during that time, concussions was a major thing with football. He said, hey, man, enough is enough. I just can't deal no more. And I would like to be absolutely wrong. And I hope that I'm so wrong that he comes back this season and plays. But I just feel like that, hey, you know, I'm concerned that if he's going to make it back mentally.
Hmm. Well, the team is struggling without him. That's to put it mildly. They had no shot last night against Joel Embiid with Naz Reid out with a sore wrist. Their tallest player was, I think, Ed Davis is what, 6'8", 6'9", mm-hmm. going up against Joel Embiid, who was iffy with a back, but was able to deal with
it. It was a close game. It was only 5 points at halftime.
Five at half, and then the Sixers were clearly toying with the Wolves in the first half because they came out in the third quarter and turned up the juice. Embiid had 37-11 through three quarters and didn't play in the fourth quarter because there was no need. No Culver, no Naz, no Cat, no Wancho, and really no point guard play because D'Lo was back but had no chance against Ben Simmons. And, dude, Ricky Rubio, I don't know what's going on with Ricky Rubio. He looks like a different player. He looks like...
He's checked out.
It's like he doesn't know what he's doing. What do you mean, though, he's checked out?
He's checked out.
Mentally checked out?
Yeah, he's checked out. Well, not here.
Well, how does that happen?
They're looking at the situation right now. When you check out of something, you're saying there is no hope. Because Ricky Rubio, over the last few years, was a much better basketball player than he is today, physically and mentally. And it seems like mentally he's just checked out. And when you check out mentally, you're saying there's no more hope.
Right, but what's hard for fans to understand is you're being paid $18 million to play a game.
No,
you need to check in. You need to figure out what's going on and play.
And he has checked out.
Now, he just doesn't even look like his own. He doesn't look like a player. It looks like he doesn't know what he's doing out there.
When you mentally checked out, you're not involved. You're not engaged.
I mean, I'd rather see Jordan McLaughlin out there getting minutes at this point.
Right, yeah, I agree with you. I totally agree
with you. It's tough to watch. When he gets on the court, I actually cringe. I can't take my eyes off of him.
And when they made the trade to bring him back, we all was like, wow, this is going to be a good pickup for the Wolves.
Everyone was thrilled.
Okay, because of the play that we saw for him over the last 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But mentally he's not here. He's not here. It would be great if someone could sit down and have a conversation with him and find out why.
Well, that's what coaches are for, right? That's what an organization's there for. It's to get a guy back if something's gone wrong. It's just so hard to watch right now.
Because I know 6-7 months ago, the player we're seeing right now was not the player that was around 6, 7, 8, 9, maybe 10 months
ago. No, he had a great season last year.
There you go.
So is it the system? Is it just the circumstances?
Or it's just the situation he's in. With the place that he's playing at.
Yeah, maybe. Well, there are a couple positives. Anthony Edwards got his first start. And did you see his dunk the other night?
I saw the highlights.
That was a get-out-of-your-seat dunk. That was the best dunk I think I've seen all season from anybody. So that was fun. I kind of feel like, and I love Jim Pete and Dave Benz. They do a terrific job. But for me, they're trying too hard to tell us that Anthony Edwards was a good pick. That, you know, don't worry. If you see these other rookies like Wiseman doing their thing, look at what he's doing. They almost try too hard to convince us. I don't need to be convinced. I can tell this kid's got it, and he's going to be a really good player.
Okay,
he's 19, so he's going to be really good if they don't put too much on his plate right off the bat.
I have a choice.
Well, I know he's going to be counted on to do that. Jaden McDaniels is getting an opportunity, and. You know,
everybody should be getting an opportunity.
He looks, he really, both ends of the court, he looks like he belongs. The moment's not too big. That was a guy that, remember when they drafted him, we said a lot of upside, but he had kind of a disappointing freshman year at Washington after being a top recruit out of high school.
Well, if you got guys who you're paying big-time money to and they're not engaged, and somehow, some way, you can't help them to become more engaged, well, then everybody should have the opportunity to get a look.
Yeah, and they are right now. And Vanderbilt, with opportunity, has shown that he's got some nice potential.
I mean, because you can't hurt. I mean, you already got perhaps one of the worst records in basketball.
Yes, you do. Not perhaps. You do. Okay. Yep. 4-14.
Okay.
The playoffs are a distant hope. It's gone. And, you know, frankly, Wolves fans at this point have to feel like somehow, some way, we got to keep this pick in what's going to be a draft that is considered stronger than any in recent memory. To not have a pick is just another notch in the Wolves' history books.
Because I don't know what Ryan Saunders can do to Ricky Rubio other than sit him on the bench.
Yeah.
Yeah, just sit him down, man.
Well, that's what I would. But you got McLaughlin on a two-way. You can't play him that much. They played him 4 minutes last night, which wastes one of his games he's allowed to play.
Can we take him off the two-way?
I think they should. I think he's earned it. I don't know if they have a spot. They should make a spot because he deserves backup minutes right now.
Is Rubio in his last year of his deal?
No, I think he's got one more, I believe.
The amnesty thing is done, isn't it? Can they still do that?
Do what?
That thing where they just have an amnesty or something?
Oh, yeah, no, they already used that. Yeah, okay. Every team could cut one guy. I think it was Pekovic we did that with back then. All right, we'll pause here. It's 8:55. I'm a little late. We'll pause. We'll come back. More NBA conversation, Big Ten conversation. The Gophers after a week off.
I was confident they was going to win last week against Maryland.
You were as confident in that game as I was with my Packers.
Right.
But it was an ugly loss. How do they rebound against Purdue tonight? We'll chat about that in hour number two.
This is The Fan.
All right, we're back. 9:01 on a Saturday morning. You're in the zone. Trent Tucker, Dave Senekin, we're with you till 10 o'clock as usual. We will hand things off to Beyond the Pond. Puck Talk follows us from 10 to noon today. We're talking NBA. Another dispiriting loss for the Wolves last night. Shorthanded, still no Cat, no Culver, no Nas, no Wancho, no chance. Sixers blow out the Wolves in the second half. They are the top team in the East right now at 14-6. Despite the fact they tried to trade Ben Simmons and get James Harden, and now Bradley Beal's name is out there. But that Sixers team, Tyrese Maxey, one of the better-looking rookies, that's a nice team off to a really good start, and they had no issue. Joel Embiid, 37-11 in Anthony Edwards' first start for the Wolves. He had 15, but this team was outclassed by a Sixers team, and now the Cavaliers are here for the first of two games this week, and then the Spurs. So another surprising team. Spurs are 11-8, double T.
They're fourth in the West.
How did that happen? That just shows you what good organization, good coaching. Look at what you got on your roster,
players
make
who
it
are
work.
Committed, players yeah. who are engaged.
It's amazing how that
process,
works.
Right?
Really is.
But if Philadelphia somehow, some way can get someone like Bradley Beal without giving up Embiid or Simmons, they could be the best team in the East.
Well, I think it would cost them Simmons. I don't know what else you give.
Or Washington. You know,
Washington.
You're talking about Washington.
There is that.
Yeah.
Beal's, his name is just going to be talked about now all season. He's averaging 35 a game. He is off to his best start, and he has not demanded a trade. You know, it's not like he's saying, free me. You know, he wants to play for a winner, but, you know, I think teams look at that situation and say,
that's the way they go about it. You know, he's a provider. Right. You know, his agent might be talking to the Wizards behind the scene.
Well, if they know they're not going anywhere, and they're not going to keep Westbrook forever, that trade was meant to move Wall's contract, not necessarily let's get Westbrook in to be the future of our franchise. If they're looking to the future, they're going to get a whole lot. You know, it's going to be one of those Drew Holiday, James Harden type deals with multiple number ones coming back your way. And the one team, I've heard a few teams bandied about for Bradley Beal. Philly is one of them, but Simmons is the name coming back. Somebody threw out Denver in a deal with Michael Porter being the centerpiece, but
I wouldn't do that.
If you're who?
Denver.
Really?
No. It's a bad fit. You got Jamal Murray.
You don't think they could play together? Wall and Beal played together. They didn't win a lot, but
there you go. Because you got Murray and you got the Joker. So you got your two stars that you build around. And now the other pieces fit around them very well. You don't want to bring a third guy in now that needs the basketball to make this offense work. It can tear a team apart. Now if that third guy becomes someone like Klay Thompson who just can catch and shoot and doesn't need to dribble, okay. But Bradley Beal is a guy that likes to put the ball down the floor. He likes to play with it. I already got a guy who can do that. Got two guys who can do that.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Is there a team that you think is a Beal away from being able to compete with a team like the Lakers right now?
The Lakers?
They don't need him. They're winning without him.
If they got Bradley Beal.
Yeah, but what are they going to give back to Washington? You're going to take – you don't want their
– any first-round draft picks they got.
That's no good.
Pope.
You get the 30th pick in Kyle Kuzma. I mean, they can do better than
right.
that.
Right, have some guys on expiring contracts, right?
Yeah.
Free up some space.
I don't see that being likely.
If the Lakers have young talent that, or any talent that's expiring contracts, and you feel like, hey, we just want to move on from some of these big-time contracts that we know that down the road is not going to help us going forward, are we in a start-over mode, rebuilding mode? Because Washington, as they're constructed right now, they're not going to win a lot of basketball games.
No.
With Bradley Beal. So if I can start over and free up some salary cap here or there, maybe down the road I might be maybe to attract some players to come here to see if they can help us out.
Free Bradley Beal, that's going to be the rallying cry for NBA fans as we get closer to the trade deadline. The Jazz are the best team in the West right now. They're actually, I think, just a notch ahead of the Lakers. It's still hard to believe the Wolves beat this team. You know, I don't think they've lost since. I think the Jazz have won 11 straight. They're 15-4 and are sitting atop the West. I think they're a really nice story so far this year. And, you know, we saw a game where they did not play well. But Rudy Gobert, I think, is playing as well as
he's
he has
playing very well.
Ever played. And
he's got a big-time contract now.
Well, he does, but he's earned it. He's a unique player. There's nobody quite like him. It's very difficult to do anything in the lane when he's patrolling inside there, you know. Mm-hmm. That team has been a nice surprise story And I think San Antonio jumps out at me, too, to be 11-8 with that roster. You know, granted, they've got DeMar DeRozan and your guy, L.A., but...
DeJounte Murray?
Right, but that was a team that did not look like a playoff team heading into the season.
Well, I think what Pop has done in this era of basketball, where everybody is shooting three-point shots, he's saying, hey, we're not a three-point shooting team. I'm okay with going the basketball inside of 18 feet. I'm okay with posting up LaMarcus Aldridge and let him shoot some turnaround jump shots. My best player, DeMar DeRozan, is not a three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that's going to put it down and drive to the basket and get to the free throw line. So you have to conduct a style that's going to fit the personnel of your team. You know, when San Antonio had three-point shooters, they could play a little bit faster. They still had Tim Duncan. You know, but Greg Popovich has done a good job of making sure that he's not fallen into a system that does not fit his team.
And I think the Wolves could learn something from that, right?
Yeah.
Because they don't have three-point shooters on this roster, but they're forcing these guys to shoot threes because they want to play like the Rockets used
to
play.
So now you put them in a situation to fail. Your best player is not a three-point shooter when he's here. So how do we construct a game plan that's going to suit him best so that now we can put the rest of the players in a situation to be successful?
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
If the Wolves were allowed to do a do-over right now on the D'Lo Wiggins trade, do you think they would do the do-over?
I believe so.
Really?
Yeah.
Think about that.
I believe so.
That awful Wiggins contract.
I believe so.
And Wiggins, you know, it's not every night, but because Golden State's on national TV so often, when he does shine, it gets more play than it normally would. But he's having a nice season in the role he's asked to play with those players around him.
Well, because they are allowing him to play a game within side of their system where he can be effective. Everybody said, well, he's taking long twos. Why not take a three? He's not a three-point shooter. It's okay to be an 18 to 20-foot jump shooter. If you can make a high volume of 18 to 20-foot jump shots, last time I checked, they count as well.
Right, but it kind of goes against the way this game is being played right now.
The only team that has won a championship as a three-point shooting team are the Golden State Warriors. It's because they got the best two shooters perhaps in the history of the game. But when it came down to winning.
How are you dissing Larry like that?
Huh?
How are you dissing Larry like that?
I said perhaps.
That? Oh, perhaps.
Okay.
Gotcha. You covered yourself there.
I did.
Okay.
I say, but they are the ones that introduced this style to the NBA now, and everybody is trying to copy what Golden State has done. If you don't have Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, or maybe a James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hard for you to duplicate that.
Speaking of James Harden, you see what the Nets did last night? They put up a $147 on the Thunder without Durant, who was off resting his Achilles.
Right. It's, yeah. It's,
147. I think they had 11 players in double figures.
Was the Thunder guarding anybody?
I don't believe so.
I think you and I could have scored a basketball.
I'll say you could. I'm pretty sure I would have been held scoreless. The other game that caught my attention, my Bucks got beat by the Pelicans last night. I forgot they were on ESPN, and
yeah.
I flipped over.
It was an early start, right?
Yep. Yeah, like a 6:30 start. I flipped over from the Wolves at one point because I remembered, oh, wait, that's where, because I had the league pass. It wasn't showing up anywhere. It's on ESPN. It was like.
It was about 29
It was like,
right?
57-30. And I'm like, hello? What? And so I quickly turned the station. I turned it back, I don't know, 45 minutes later. That's a 9-point game late third quarter. And the Bucks came back to cut it to 5 and lost. The Pelicans had one of those nights where they could not miss from 3. Both Lonzo and Eric Bledsoe made 7 threes each.
Yeah.
And Giannis said, you know, they're going to have the best shooting night in their organization's history and beat us by 5 points. We can live with that. But I would say maybe.
Well, I can't live with the fact that you got down by 29.
Yeah. Against that team.
Which
I actually think the Pelicans are a little more talented than their record, and maybe it's Van Gundy still trying to figure things out, and Lonzo's apparently on the trading block, and they're looking to move some stuff around.
I like Lonzo Ball.
But they've got some talent. And with Ingram and Lonzo and Bledsoe and Ball.
Lonzo's a good basketball player, man. Lonzo Ball is a good basketball player. Now, where he was drafted, many people are saying that, well, when you're drafted, what, number one or number two in the draft, they think that you're going to come in and change the franchise. Mm-hmm. But this is what the college game produces today. Lonzo Ball is a very, very good basketball player. If he can just find the right players to play with, he could, you know, he knows how to pass. He knows how to run the offense. He's a smart player. He's got good size.
He can defend for sure.
He's a good athlete. Look, yep. Hey, Lonzo Ball is a very good basketball player.
Yeah, had a good night last night as the Pelicans took down the Bucks, for sure. As I said, Wolves fall by 24. They will try to regroup, and they get a Cleveland team that, you know what? This Cleveland team's playing pretty good basketball. Took down the Nets in back-to-back games last week.
And they put the Lakers right down to the last shot, I think, right?
Yeah, they did. You know, they added Jared Allen in that deal. They got those two young guards in Sexton and Garland. Kevin Love's still out there playing for them. Yeah. They've got some talent. So
Bale McGee's still hanging out somewhere?
He is. So the Wolves will keep on marching on, but it's a lost season. I think it's fair to say at this point, 18 games in. What is that? That's 1/4 of the way through the season. They're on pace right now for 16 wins and, 56 losses. And then you just got to hope on ping pong night that you keep your pick in the top three. Otherwise, Golden State gets so much better. Well, it's really early, obviously. Jalen Suggs and Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State, I think, are seen as, you know, maybe the top two guys.
Yeah.
And we'll get to see both those guys as the season goes on here in March Madness, assuming we get it. I know getting a draft pick doesn't change anything, but adding another top three pick can only help an organization that needs, well, they need more than a top three pick. They need a lot of help right now. And it starts at the top, and who knows where this organization will be. It's for sale. If Glenn finally sells this team.
We think it's for sale, right?
Well, we believe it's still on the market. I have to think the value's dropping by the day at this point. But my point is, there could be all kind of new decision makers leading this team as we look ahead to next season. But it's rather depressing here at the end of January to already realize that this franchise that tried to pair Cat and D'Lo, that was the big thing, get these buddies to play together. And after, you know, the end of last season to this season to
Where's
this point,
Phoenix at?
They played like five games together.
Where's Phoenix? Are they in the mix? The Suns?
As far as record goes?
Yeah. Are they in the top eight?
I don't think so. I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay.
Haven't looked that closely. Why? What's your...
I'm just asking. I'm just trying to figure out...
Curious about how Chris Paul and Booker are doing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I don't have it in front of me. I could check during the break. But I want to come back and talk some Big Ten basketball.
Okay.
As your Gophers return to action after a week off tonight, lots of time to think about their most deflating loss of the season. Now they get a Purdue team that they always play close. It feels like those two teams always play each other close. Two very different teams. And we'll get your thoughts on that and where things stand in the Big Ten when we come back.
The Fan.
Back with you 9:19 on a Saturday morning. Thanks for spending part of your morning with us. Trent Tucker, Dave Sinekin in the zone on the Fan. As we turn our attention to Big Ten basketball, the Gophers return to action tonight. You'll hear it on this very station, 6:30 p.m. tonight at West Lafayette Mackey Arena. Always a tough place to play. The Purdue Boilermakers hosting your Minnesota Golden Gophers. Both teams, Trent, have been off for pretty much a week. The Gophers really with their most deflating loss of the season last Saturday, 63-49, not even really competitive against a really bizarre Maryland team that's like 3-6 in the Big Ten, but they've won on the road in Minnesota, Illinois, and Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But they can't seem to win anywhere else, and Wisconsin got some revenge on them earlier this week. Purdue has been off for a week. Their last game was a home loss to Michigan, 70-53, and I think that was Michigan's last game before the entire university closed down all athletics
for
2 weeks. So Michigan basketball will not play a game for 2 weeks, which is good news for my Hoosiers because they were scheduled to go up to Ann Arbor today and be the sacrificial lamb for that Wolverines team. But some concerns, obviously, in that program. I think the COVID variant had made its way into some members of the athletic department, not necessarily the basketball team, but within the athletic department, all sports have closed down in Michigan. So they're paused for 2 weeks while sitting atop the Big Ten at 8-1, a two-game lead over Wisconsin and Illinois. And Iowa also has three losses, but has one less win than Wisconsin, Illinois. Really entertaining game last night in Champaign as Iowa fell to Illinois 80-75. Kind of got beat on a couple calls late that did not go their way. But a really entertaining game between two of the Big Ten's best. But, all right, back to the Gophers, Double T. Everything was flying along. They were playing great at home, struggling on the road. Here comes Maryland. What do you think went wrong last Saturday against the Terrapins? Again, a team that, okay, they've had some nice wins on the road, but
it was a confident team coming into Wims Arena
because they knew they could win away from home. They had already done it in Champaign and Madison.
And they came with a lot of confidence. They got off to a very good start, and it's very important for any road team. Anytime you play a tough opponent on their home floor, is to get off to a good start. Normally, you try to get off to a good start to take the crowd out of the game, but you know they didn't have to worry about that. And the Gophers just did not shoot the ball very well that day.
Didn't shoot. Liam Robbins just couldn't get anything going that day. And you know, it's one thing to lose to Maryland at home, but it was just so one-sided. It was so unexpected. And every team has had a loss like that, you know, pretty much at home too. But did not see that coming. And now the Gophers have a week to think about it. And so has Purdue. But you lose to Michigan, that team has been the best team in the league. It's you can be excused for that. History between these two schools lately, Double T, they've played close games, it seems like, no matter where the game is played. But this is a different Purdue team than what we've seen in recent years. Number one, their top three-point shooter is out. He's tested positive for COVID. Sasha Stefanovic, the number one three-point shooter on this team. He shoots 45% from three. He will not be there. And Matt Painter's counting on freshmen. He's got four freshmen that contribute. He lost Matt Harms, who transferred. Had a couple transfers last year. So it's a different Purdue team. But you know what? They've played pretty well. They're 6-4 in the Big Ten. They're 6-1 at home, just under 500, 3-4 on the road overall. This is a really interesting test for the Gophers. We need to see them break through on the road at some point. You lose at home, you got to make one up. It's not easy to win there, but much more veteran team in Minnesota. I just worry sometimes when a team's had a week off to get back, you know, and play the way we've seen you play. I mean, Michigan State's more of a, this is different because they were off for 3 weeks with the COVID pause, but they came back and played Rutgers the other night, and they were not competitive. They were down 12-0 in the first TV timeout, and they did cut it to 5 at halftime, but then Rutgers just they beat them by 30, you know? So, again, 3 weeks is different than a week, but I worry when the team's been off for a while. Now, Indiana's going to have a two-week break because they're missing this Michigan game, and I wonder how they will do after 2 weeks off. It's tough when you got a rhythm going to sit for a week. What do you need to see against this Purdue team to bounce back?
Well, you know, the concern for the Gophers this year is that when they're at home, other than the Maryland game, if things don't go well for a certain portion of the game, they can stay with the game plan. They can stay mentally engaged. They can fight through adversity. They've shown that so far this year on their home floor. But what they have not shown is that when they hit a bump on the road, you know, they're not able to hang in there. When things go south for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, they seem to fall apart. And tonight, if they're going to find a way, you know, to beat Purdue at Mackey Arena, when things don't go well for them, can they stay connected? Can they continue, you know, to grind and to fight through and show that mental toughness to stick around and hoping that at the end they can find a way to win this basketball game?
It doesn't get easier. They got to go to Rutgers on Thursday, so two road games this week. And I saw that Rutgers team after dropping, I think, six in a row. They were ranked as high as like 10th or 12th earlier in the season. And they went on like
a Big Ten team was ranked in the top 25 at one point.
Pretty
time,
true.
Right?
That's pretty true. But after dropping like five or six in a row, they went down to Bloomington last week and took out the Hoosiers with a big road win. Then they come back and beat Michigan State. that's a good team. And Ron Harper's kid, Ron Harper Jr., hasn't gotten his legs back. He still cannot shoot the ball. But they've got a big guy in there that's going to give Robbins trouble. They've got veterans on the perimeter. So two tough games. I mean, if they can somehow win one of these two, I think Richard Pitino would be really happy. But, man, there's a really good chance.
Yeah, he'd be very, very happy because, like you said before, now you have to go on the road and make up for that home loss that you had against Maryland. You know, but I'm just hoping that somehow, some way, you know, that the Gophers can find a way to stay in the game, especially on the road when things become tough. At Michigan, they were down by, what, 6 at halftime. All of a sudden, Michigan comes out, goes on a 3 or 4 or 5 basket run. They forget the game plan. All of a sudden now, they begin to play one-on-one basketball, taking quick and bad shots. All of a sudden, an 8-point lead or a 10-point lead goes and balloons to 22. The same thing that had happened down in Madison. They end the game in the first half. They're right there. All of a sudden, the Badgers put a 3 or 4 basket run together. The Gophers don't stay with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they abandon the game plan. They began to do things that the game plan is not asking them to do. And all of a sudden, an 8-point, a 10-point lead now balloons to 18. So on the road, knowing that, hey, this team has not played well on the road this year so far during the Big Ten season, mental toughness will be a major test for them over the next two games.
I know they've gotten back to fundamentals this week, you know, working on all the little things, you know, so that those little things don't cost them a game. But they've gotten some nice national attention. Marcus Carr made the top 10 list for the Cousy Point Guard of the Year award. That's nice to hear. No doubt. A lot of competition for that. And Liam Robbins is a top 10 finalist for the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Center of the Year award. And, you know, it's a league probably as strong at center that I can remember, Double T, when you talk about Big Ten centers, from Garza to Trace Jackson Davis to Coburn in Illinois. And the fact that Robbins has played himself to a point where he's gotten that recognition to be a top 10 center in the country this year, I think is a real testament to how far he has come. It's to coaching and to that kid's growth, because he played at Drake last year. You know, no offense to the Bulldogs, but obviously you go from, what is that, Missouri Valley to the Big Ten to bang with those centers I just talked about night in and night out. And the fact that he has played well enough to be considered
very well this year.
So really nice story. You know, there's been a lot of nice stories from this program as we're about halfway through the Big Ten season. But I think Robbins has been the biggest surprise. You got these transfers coming in. You don't know what you're going to get out of them necessarily, but certainly.
You know, Booth Gotch has not been as consistent, you know, throughout the Big Ten as he was during the non-conference schedule.
That is true. And that's a key that can, you look for growth, like where this team can improve. You always think about Gabe's 3-point shooting. That hasn't come around yet. But yeah, the way Gotch looked early, the energy and getting offensive boards and just in transition, really strong. But he struggled a bit in Big Ten play.
Oh, for sure.
And this team could use that. Interesting game tonight. You'll hear it here on the Fan. 6:30 tip. Gophers, Purdue.
Big Ten Network? You believe?
I don't know if it's Big Ten or FS1, I guess, but why not just listen to it on the Fan? You know, it makes it a lot easier. You can do other things and just listen on the radio. All right, we'll pause here. We'll come back. Kind of a potpourri in the final segment, some NFL stuff, a couple more NBA nuggets. We'll take your calls if you care to chat or emails. One more segment to go in the
On the Fan.
Final segment of this edition of In the Zone with you till the top of the hour. I saw Micheletti in the hallway, so he's getting ready for Beyond the Pond. He had a big smile on his face under his mask. He'd been tweeting me all week, just the words Tom Brady, before the game.
Oh,
Tom Brady, Tom Brady, Tom Brady. So I get to deal with him as we leave the studio today. You That'll be fun.
Tom Brady's playing in his 10th Super Bowl. And he's 6-3, and he easily could be 4-5.
He could, couldn't he?
He should be 4-5.
Yeah. Well, he'll be 6-4 after next Sunday.
Yeah. Because Atlanta just fell apart. Dan Quinn was the head coach at the time?
Correct.
Just run the football, right? Game's over. Pete Carroll, get the ball to Marshawn Lynch.
Although Dan Quinn is a defensive coach.
But
it was Shanahan, wasn't it? Wasn't he the offensive coordinator?
Just run the football. Run the clock out. Pete Carroll, I think it's going to haunt me for the rest of my life.
It is going to haunt you. You're not over it yet.
I just can't get over it.
Give it to Beast. Beast mode.
Right. Just win the game, man.
Well, even I'll go back to last Sunday. You know, you intercept Brady twice there in the second half, and the offensive series that followed were both three and outs. Pass, 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 punt. Pass, 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 punt. Hand the ball to A.J. Dillon or to Jamal Williams. Run the football. You were running the ball effectively. Not great, but you're getting 4, 5, 6 yards.
You're second and five, yeah. Second and four.
Teams just give up on the run. It drives me crazy.
Right. It's because we've adapted this style that, hey, we are a pass-happy league.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that we believe that we can win is by passing the football. The same thing with the NBA. It's a three-point shooting league now. Nobody wants to take two-point shots, and nobody wants to run the football.
There is kind of a correlation there, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
One just quick minute on Aaron Rodgers, who made a lot of news, as Matt mentioned when he called early in the show, about, you know, talking after the game, that there's a lot of up in the air, a lot of people's futures are up in the air, myself included, and that got, you know, Twitter
buzzing.
Not only, yeah, beyond buzzing. And my take on that is he was just kind of tweaking the general manager with that comment. Like, you know, you drafted my potential successor last year, so how should I know what's in your head for next year? But he knows that he will be the quarterback for the Packers in 2021. There's no chance that he is not the quarterback. Yes, he's got the power. If he wanted to say, you know what, we came close, it's not going to happen here, I've lost confidence, find a place for me, he could do that. He's not going to do that. He will be the quarterback for the Pack. Now, beyond next season, I don't know. Look, he's just about to win the MVP on next Saturday night. And all I know from people that cover the Packers, that watched Jordan Love in the limited amounts of time they were able to watch him, accuracy is an issue still with this kid. They had those nets, you know, where you throw the ball into a hole.
Yep.
You know, and he wasn't very good at finding the old hole to throw the ball into. So he's not close. I don't think he's necessarily ready. So I guess my point is, just because they drafted that kid doesn't mean he is the future for this team. They may decide to...
He could be the future 4 or 5 years.
He might be, or they might trade him in a year.
I had this conversation when they drafted Jordan Love.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Aaron Rodgers should not be worried about Jordan Love. He shouldn't even waste his time in having a conversation about Jordan Love. And he should be having a conversation now, talking about everything is up in the air. Yeah, it might be up in the air for some other players. But, see, Aaron Rodgers has to stay away from that. Stay away from that. Stay above the fray. You're the franchise player. Came up short. Now we just got to figure out how to get over the top. Haven't been here in a very long time. We've been, you know, in this game multiple times, but we haven't gotten over the hump. So now is my job as a leader to figure out how to get us over the hump. That's the conversation I need from Aaron Rodgers now. No, not this negative conversation that's going to set Twitter on fire.
Right, and he knew what he was doing when he said that. He knew he was going to get everyone going.
But he shouldn't do that.
No, he shouldn't, but I understand the frustration after that game.
Well, everybody's frustrated, but not my best player.
Yeah.
Come on,
he's
man.
He's human.
Come on. No, come on. You understand where we are. Words matter. All of a sudden now you speak out of character, out of place. We're dealing with a tough loss. Now I got to deal with this too? Come on, Aaron.
Yeah, it's just the first week. It'll die down very quickly. That's not going to be a talker this offseason.
I don't need to go into Monday morning at 12 midnight dealing with what Aaron Rodgers just said as well. Right now, we all are frustrated. Come on, man. You know, I need you right now. You know, to be with us.
Yeah, but if I'm him, I'm looking at next season thinking, all right, my left tackle is going to probably miss the season. My electric running back's probably going to be running for somebody else. My center might be gone as well.
Well, that's the nature of the game. You make those adjustments.
Agreed, and there's no reason to say they can't. Then you look at the schedule.
Tom Brady made them for years.
we got, both our teams have tough schedules next season. AFC North, you got to play Baltimore and Cleveland and Pittsburgh. I think NFC West, you got to play that division.
That's why it's called the National Football League.
I know, but I'm just saying it's the stars were kind of aligned, and I think Rodgers realized it.
Like, there are no easy roads to a championship.
Wait, I'm going to write this down. That's a good one.
And you know that. Because see, when you got to the point, Tom Brady showed up.
Exactly.
Okay, so there ain't no easy road here.
It's going to be a really interesting offseason with all the quarterback movement. Everyone seems to think that this could be an offseason like no other, where more quarterbacks move around. And if you look at all the teams with a quarterback situation in flux, it's almost all right. Which teams don't have a quarterback in flux? And the list is a lot shorter. But obviously the big
Seattle, Green Bay, Tampa Bay,
Kansas City, Buffalo, the Chargers.
Yeah, but there's a reason why, you know, a lot of these teams are in flux with their quarterbacks. The quarterbacks haven't done a good job for them.
But look at Buffalo and the Chargers. You know, two teams that drafted quarterbacks that people had lots of questions about. Both Josh Allen and Justin Herbert had a lot of people that did not feel like they were going to be worthy of their top 10 selection. And both those guys, obviously Allen has taken his team to the precipice. Herbert set records, you know, rookie records for a Chargers team that lost a lot of defensive players this year, and they could be right back in the mix because of what he looks like he's going to be. It's such a hit-or-miss thing. That's why the Houston Texans are in such a tough spot, because they've got a guy that maybe four teams wouldn't trade for. Everybody else would switch. Even Green Bay would trade Rodgers, and I would trade Rodgers in love for Deshaun Watson, knowing I've got him for the next 12, 13 years. Absolutely. Most teams would do that. And that's why the Viking fan base are, you know, wrestling with it. And I don't think Minnesota's in the mix, because I just don't think they've got the assets that other teams could offer Houston that are much more attractive. Because if Houston's given up Deshaun Watson, they need to replace him with a potential franchise quarterback.
Or are they starting over? What's going to happen to J.J. Watt?
Well, I think they probably move on from Watt, too.
If you lose Watt and Deshaun Watson, that means that you're starting over.
Right, but you want to start over with the potential of landing a franchise quarterback in this draft. And if they trade with the Jets or the Dolphins, they can have their pick of quarterbacks not named Trevor Lawrence. They can have Justin Fields if they like him. They can have Zach Wilson from BYU if they like him. No other team that they deal with is going to give them a chance to land that franchise quarterback unless they're taking a middling quarterback back, like a Cousins back in the deal, which I just don't see that as attractive to a team like Houston, which could get, you know, let's just say Miami, for example. They have the third pick. They have like the 18th pick. They are flush with draft picks. You can give them Tua back. That, to me, and again, Houston is saying, we don't want to move him. The new coach said, I took this job. I expect Deshaun Watson to be my quarterback. And that's great to say that and believe that.
I mean, what's wrong with Tua?
Well, nobody knows because he's been so banged up, right?
Okay, he's been hurt.
A hip injury is a concern.
Doesn't throw the ball like Matthew Stafford down the field. Doesn't throw the long ball like Aaron Rodgers. Okay. All right, but his team
a bit undersized. You know, can he take the hits and stay healthy?
His team won a national championship.
He's a winner. He's a leader.
He took up for Jalen Hurts, and he plays a certain style. Okay, when you drafted this kid, you knew exactly what kind of quarterback he was. So if he's going to be your starter, are you going to construct a game plan to fit his talents? Or are you going to try to force him to play a certain way?
I don't think Miami's ready to give up on Tua. I think that'd be a huge mistake, don't you? You just took him in the top five a year ago.
Well, the conversation is like they're ready to give up on him.
Well, I don't know if that's from them or if that's just from people speculating, because they've got a top three pick, thanks to Houston. Speaking of which, it's Houston's pick.
So if they stay at number three, do you think they'd take a quarterback?
I do not think they would take a quarterback. I do not think they would take a quarterback. I would be stunned. What the heck? You just took Tua knowing that he wasn't going to give you much his rookie year, coming off a really bad injury with no offseason to get him ready. This was sort of a redshirt year for Tua. Unless you've seen enough from maybe he, you know, isn't committed, maybe he doesn't understand the offense, maybe the arm isn't what you... I mean, there could be a lot of reasons they've lost excitement for him.
The arm talent may not be there of certain quarterbacks. I mean, but the guy's a winner.
I can't believe they're really to move on from two. Look, if you can get Deshaun Watson,
he's a Kenny Stabler type player.
That's a different story. He is?
Yeah, the snake. That's what he plays like. Kenny Stabler.
Tua does?
Yeah. Stabler didn't throw the long ball. But let McCall branch running crossing routes, 10, 15 yards down the field.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't throw the ball like Joe Namath.
And they know they knew what they were getting into. I mean, right. But I don't.
When you say he kind of reminds you of Kenny Stabler?
I mean, I remember Stabler barely, you know, from my youth. I don't remember him not throwing the deep ball.
Yeah, he didn't throw the deep ball. You know, Joe Namath threw the deep ball. That's not Kenny Stabler. That's how he kind of reminds me of.
Okay.
Snake. Just don't have Al Davis, that's all.
I just don't. I know they've sort of fallen into the third pick, but you could land that Sewell kid, the best tackle in the draft. That'll help Tua a whole lot. You could add a Devontae Smith. That'll help Tua a whole lot. I would think it would be a gigantic mistake to move on from Tua after that season. Where, granted, Fitzpatrick looked better, but, you know, he's grizzled. He's been around.
Yeah, and but Tua looked good in times he was there.
Yeah, he had his moments, yeah. For sure. He had his moments.
You know, they had a quarterback combo. And one guy's not playing well, we go with the other guy.
I think Miami's in a very favorable spot where they are because they've got a quarterback.
But if you're Indy, what would you do to try to get Deshaun Watson?
Indy?
Yeah.
Well, they're in the same division, so I don't think they're going to trade Watson to Indy.
Anything's possible.
No, they're not. No way. It's like Stafford is not going to get traded to the Bears. You don't trade a good quarterback within the division. So, no, I don't think Indy's
over,
in the Watson.
If you're starting over.
I still don't think you want to face Watson twice a year.
It's only two times. It's not like eight.
I'm taking Indy off the table for Deshaun Watson. The Jets seem like the favorite.
If I'm Indy, I'm trying to get into the conversation.
Well, I understand that. But I don't care. I don't trade Deshaun Watson within my division. That's the last thing I do. He can go anywhere else.
Why? Who cares? Only two times I got to face him.
You want to win your division, you got to get past Deshaun Watson. Even though you don't have to face him, he's leading a team that you've got to get past. There's no way. He will not end up in Indy.
How many games do you play a season?
Well, I think it'll be 17 next year.
I mean, so what? If we split, go 1-1?
That's not the point. It's not just about the head-to-head matchups.
But if
they've got a team now led by Watson, they're going to be favored to win the division for years.
You're just saying, what does Indy have to give up to get Deshaun Watson? A lot.
Well, they would give up a lot, but Houston wouldn't.
So they may not have the same team.
Well, still, Houston's not going to even entertain offers from Indy.
I'm telling you, if I can make my team better by trading Deshaun Watson, if I can make my team. Because
You look up and tell me the last time a superstar quarterback was traded at 25 within the division.
What was Houston's record this year with Deshaun Watson? Well,
they were 4-12, okay. But it was not his fault.
Okay.
It was a disaster of a season.
I'm 4-12, and we need help.
Yeah, they need a coach that was competent, which, all right, they've moved on.
But then this guy by himself is only 4-12, and I'm about to lose perhaps. Rumpai said at one point in time he was one of the better defensive players in the game in J.J. Watt. Well, we're in the rebuilding mode.
This just in, they traded their best offensive player for nothing. They took away Watson's best target.
And didn't get anything in return.
Well, they got David Johnson, who's a washed-up running back. I mean, it was a terrible trade. That's why the coach is gone.
What does Indy have to give up to get Deshaun Watson?
They have to look for a different quarterback.
They have to give a whole lot.
Yes, of course they would.
Okay.
So
why not make a phone call?
They can make the phone call. If I'm Houston, I'm hanging up. I'm not trading him within my division.
If I'm Houston, I'm making the phone call.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he said he doesn't want
to. So we would manage teams very differently. I think we've learned that this morning.
But you know, but if I believe that just because I get something from a guy that's next door, and if he can help me win, sit down and do a deal, man.
All right. Well, Indy can't give you a top five pick. You know, Indy can't give you the chance of a top 10 pick because they're going to be a really good team for the next couple of years.
I want some of those good
and even better with Watson.
We just saw a few years ago.
So you want Darius Leonard and
are they good players?
The kid from Wisconsin, the running back. Yeah, but they're not going to do that.
Would they make Houston a better football team?
Yeah, but they'd make Indy even better because they'd have Watson now. It doesn't matter who they get
4-12 around. 4-12 by himself. He's going to be buying 7 Indy.
Let's let's move on and welcome our buddy Jamar from Brooklyn Park. Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. And
real Jamar, quick, what's up, man?
Not to mention they're going to lose, probably going to lose J.J. Watt because, you know, he's talking about he wants clarity about his future with the team. And so with the new regime coming in, they're probably going to lose him. So they're going to take on, they're going to take a bunch of hits. I don't know how good they'll be in the next 2 years. I think they'll be in a total rebuilding mode,
Yeah, I mean, you might be right. Well, you know, we'll see for sure. Where are you with your team right now?
How about them Cowboys?
The McCarthy experience it was horrible this year. But look, I think it's all due to COVID. I think I feel like a lot of the other 28 teams that didn't make the Super Bowl or those that didn't make the playoffs, you know, because of COVID, you know, everybody was, you know, had a rough season, and so we're just like that too. But you know what, fellas, one of the reasons I call, we talk about this every year. It's the hiring process that these teams go through and the fact that there was not a black head coach hired this year. I can't lie. I'm a bit pissed off. I don't understand. You know, the Rooney Rule was implemented for a reason. And it seems to me no team really follows that rule. I think it's stupid and become an incompetent rule. And why are you forced to hire good black coaches? You know, either OCs. I mean, I see Lovie Smith got the job over at Houston as their defensive coordinator. But to what does it say to myself, young black men, young black and brown men across this country, that all of those positions became available and you couldn't hire one black? That's incredible. And to me, the league has to truly do something about this. I don't know if we got to doubly enforce the Rooney Rule, but guys, I'm a bit sick of looking at these faces be hired and they're not black. It's a damn shame.
It is. Houston, David Culley is a black man, so the Texans did hire a black coach.
Okay, I'm sorry. With the exceptions, Houston, that's
but
true.
That, and thanks for the call. But that doesn't at all dampen his comments or thoughts. There are seven coaches, coaching jobs open, and the last one went to a black man in David Culley, and there are no excuses for more of that not happening. And I think a lot of teams need to answer to that. I think we're seeing more coordinators. There were more coordinators of color hired this offseason than I think we've seen in the past, which I think helps get them a step closer to that job. But the fact that Eric Bieniemy is still an assistant coach after what he's done to lead that offense, and we were talking off air about Bieniemy double T, and you know, the fact that he doesn't call plays and Andy Reid does might give teams pause, but hell, the Eagles just hired the Colts quarterback coach who's 30-something who didn't call plays for Frank Reich, and he's a white guy. And so clearly the situation has not improved to the point that it should. It's a stain on the league as far as I'm concerned, and it's an embarrassment.
Well, I look at this differently, okay? We have 32?
Yep.
We have 32 owners, and there you got to run. I don't like the Rooney Rule at all.
We both agree on that.
Okay. And I don't think a player or a person should be hired just because of the color of their skin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, somehow, some way, these owners believe that these guys are not qualified to do the job. And that's how we have to look at it. Until they believe that, hey, I'm willing to hire this person because of these black, white, Asian, Latino, Native American. If I believe that this guy is qualified to do the job, don't base it on color, base it on talent. And right now, they're just not ready to do it. They don't believe that these guys who are out there, the people of color, are not qualified to run their teams.
They don't believe
whatever
it.
Reason, whatever
yeah.
reason.
Well, the reason is they don't look like them. That's the reason.
Yeah, whatever. They just don't believe they're ready to run their teams.
We'll pick up more on that next week. We have to fly. I was wrong. The Gophers are on KTLK tonight, AM 1130. We got Wild Hockey. More on the Wild coming up. Thanks for listening. In the Zone.